it's a joy to be here. I know I gave pastor's care this morning when I wasn't here for the morning service, and as soon as service was over, he said, I got a text, you are going to be here tonight, aren't you? Yeah, I'll be here. It's always a good to be here. The opportunity to be able to speak is always a blessing, and just to be able to share the Word of God. I appreciate Brother Gray and the way he tiptoed around everything. I have a lot of fun with that when I travel, being in the place where we're at serving the Lord. And people ask me all the time, now, Brother Ray, how are you able to stay in that country? What is it that you do, and or what kind of visa do you have? And I'll say, well, I've done everything. I've taught English. I've done this. I've done that. I said, but currently I'm on a spy visa. They're like, what? I said, you're joking, right? Yes, I'm joking. We don't give visas for that. But anyway, I have a lot of fun with that. Pastor and I had a good trip up to Ohio and back, and it was a quick trip, and we're glad to be able to go up there and see Zach, see what's going on up there. And the great thing about it is, in all the drive time, he had the opportunity to tell me about all of your sin. And so I am prepared to preach this morning, or this evening rather, probably preach till morning, but he said, now, I'm not going to tell you who it is, but I'm going to tell you that he starts, and I said, well, man, that's Dennis Allen. I know who that is. And, you know, he'd say, so I know who, no, I'm just joking. He didn't tell me everything, but we had a good time, and Pastor and I enjoy laughing together and picking at each other. On Wednesday night up there, he preached, and after the service, we had a local Pentecostal preacher who was in the service, and she came up to him and said, Pastor, that was a beautiful sermon. Now, for another preacher to hear that, I've had a lot of fun with that. Oh, Pastor, what a beautiful sermonette. And Brother Ray, hush up. And we'd laugh at him. Oh, what a beautiful sermonette you preached Wednesday night. And, man, I've just given him down the road for 8 hours. Oh, you know, every hour. So that was such a beautiful sermonette that you preached. And so I went and preached this morning. I got through. A lady came up to me, and she said, Brother Ray, that was a beautiful sermon. I don't need anybody to tell Pastor. Because, you know, what goes around comes around. I know how that is. We were laughing as we were driving up, and I was telling about the last time I preached here, struggling about what to preach. And I said, you know, before I left China, I preached a two-sermon series on why Christians shouldn't dance. I said, you know, I was thinking about preaching that and just kind of molding together and preach that to the folks there at Bethel. And I preached the first sermon on there are two types of dance in the Bible. And I looked at every verse in the Bible. The first one is sensual dancing. Obviously, we ought not to have any part of that. The second is sincere dancing, and we ought not to have any part in that, because in the Bible, sincere dancing even brought trouble. And I said, Pastor, I was thinking about preaching that, and I got up in the pulpit and looked out, and I saw folks with knee surgeries and hip surgeries and foot surgeries. I said, man, these folks can't even walk, much less dance. So we just passed right over this. I'm not preaching on that tonight. Anyway, Pastor and I had a good time, as you can tell. We laughed together. Take your Bibles tonight and turn with me to Luke chapter 19. Luke chapter 19. I want us to look in verses 28 through 40. And in this passage, we read about the triumphal entry of Christ into the city of Jerusalem. It's an amazing story that takes place as Jesus rides in and the people begin to come out and line the streets. And they're casting their clothing before him, their coats before him, so that he can walk in, and they're praising him as the King of Kings. They're praising him as the ruler of Jerusalem. Now, just a short time later, less than about a week later, they're standing and they're screaming, "Let him be crucified!" But at least on this day, they were excited about him coming in. And in this story, there's a phrase that I find quite interesting. Matter of fact, in all four Gospels, Matthew 21, Mark 11, Luke 19, and John chapter 12, he uses the exact same phrase to emphasize something that took place that allowed him to make that triumphal entry into Jerusalem. And I want us to look at that this evening. Luke chapter 19, beginning in verse number 28. I'll ask you, if you would, to please stand with me as we honor the reading of God's Word. Luke chapter 19, verses 28 through 40. The Bible says, "And when he had thus spoken, he went before, ascending up to Jerusalem." Now, Jerusalem is set on a mountain, and so no matter which direction that you came from going to Jerusalem, it was always going up to Jerusalem. "And it came to pass, when he was come nigh to Bethphage and to Bethany, at the mount called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples." So he waited there in Bethany, so he's still a pretty good distance away from the city of Jerusalem. "And he said in verse number 30, saying, Go ye into the village over against you, in the which at your entering ye shall find a colt tied, whereon yet never man sat. Loose him, and bring him hither. And if any man ask you, Why do you loose him? Thus shall you say unto him, Because the Lord hath need of him. And they that were sent went their way, and found even as he had said unto them. And as they were loosing the colt, the owners thereof said unto them, Why loose you the colt? And they said, The Lord hath need of him. And they brought him to Jesus, and they cast their garments upon the coat, and they set Jesus thereon. And as he went, they spread their clothes in the way. And when he was come nigh, even now at the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to rejoice and to praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works that they had seen, saying, Blessed be the King that cometh in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest. And some of the Pharisees from among the multitude said unto him, Master, rebuke thy disciples. And he answered and said unto them, I tell you that if these should hold their peace, the stones would immediately cry out." And I want to focus on this one phrase. You see it in verse 31. You see it again in verse 34. And he says this. He said, if they ask you and want to know why are you taking this colt, say to them, The Lord hath need of him. The Lord hath need of him. I want us to think about this tonight. Jesus Christ, the uncreated creator, Jesus Christ who spoke into existence the heaven and the earth, Jesus Christ who doesn't need air to breathe or food to eat or any other things that you and I who are humans need to sustain our life, the one who doesn't need anything, said about a donkey, The Lord hath need of him. I want to think about that for just a few minutes tonight. Let's bow for prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the opportunity to come into your house, to be able to sing praises to your name, to think about your goodness and your greatness, Lord, to be blessed by special music. Now as we look into the Word of God, we ask that the Holy Spirit of God be our teacher in truth under the Word of God. Lord, I pray that we might open the doors of our heart, and open the ears of our heart, that we might hear and receive the Word of God, that you could use your Word to encourage us, to help us, to bless us, and to cause us to be what we ought to be for your honor, for your glory. Father, bless your Word now, I pray, in Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Now, as I said, Jesus waited there in Bethany until the two disciples went to get the colt, and they brought him back to him. They put some of their coats on his back so that Jesus could sit upon him. And then as he is ascending up into Jerusalem, people come out, and they begin to cast things on the road, their clothing and other things on the road, so that he can walk on top of those, signifying that he is the King of Jerusalem. As a matter of fact, in Zechariah chapter 9, verse number 9, it was prophesied that this would happen. The Bible says, Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion, shout, O daughter of Jerusalem, behold, thy King cometh unto thee. He is just and having salvation, lowly and riding upon an ass, and upon the colt, the foal of an ass. And so we find here that this event took place. It was an event that was prophesied by Zechariah, by other prophets in other portions of the Word of God, and it happened just exactly as they said that it would. Jesus tells the two disciples, "You go and you get this colt. You bring him to me. And if anyone says to you, 'Why are you taking him? Why are you? What are you doing this for?' Tell them, 'Because the Lord hath need of him.'" And I'll be honest with you, if I sat down and started making a list of all the things that I thought the Lord needed, a donkey wouldn't make it on the list. It would make it in the top 10. It would make it in the top 100. It would never be on my list. But yet the Bible says that the Lord hath need of him. It's not something that would have ever crossed my mind. But the Bible clearly tells us in all four Gospels, four times he says that the Lord hath need of him. Don't you think it a little strange that the Lord would use that type of language? Why didn't they just say, well, the Lord sent me after him, or the Lord wants to use him, or the Lord needs a ride? I think it's kind of strange, the language that the Lord used here. He clearly said that he needed the donkey. Now, I won't take time tonight to go through the Word of God and do an exhaustive study on donkeys in the Bible, but there are a lot of things there that we could see. In Genesis chapter 22, it was a donkey that carried Abraham and Isaac up to the mount, to the place of sacrifice. In Exodus chapter 4, it was a donkey that carried Moses from the desert back to Egypt so that he could confront Pharaoh and lead the Israelites out of Egypt. In Numbers chapter 22, it was a donkey that God used to save the life of the prophet. And as a matter of fact, he caused him to speak and to explain the spiritual things to the prophet that he couldn't understand. In Judges chapter 15, it was the jawbone of a donkey that God used in the hand of Samson to punish his enemies. In 1 Samuel chapter 16, it was a donkey led by David that carried goods to King Saul and caused Saul to take notice of David so that David could go out and fight Goliath there. You see, there are many times in the Bible that God chose to use something stupid, something simple, even a something stubborn, we could say, about this donkey here, or about donkeys in general, so that his will could be accomplished. And I'll be honest with you, when I see that, it gives me hope. If God said about a donkey, I have need of him and I want to use him to glorify me, then I'm convinced that God can use me and God can use you to glorify him and to do his will. Now, certainly, God doesn't need anything, but yet the Lord had need of him. And believe it or not, in this day and age in which we live, God has need of me, and he has need of you to do his work in this place. Now, what was it about this donkey that made him needed or made him usable by the Lord? Why did the Lord need him? I'm going to share several thoughts with you tonight, very quick thoughts. And I hope that as we look at these things, we'll examine our hearts, examine our lives, and see if these things be in us, to see if we meet these requirements to be needed by the Lord. The first thing that I want you to notice is found here in verse 30 and verse number 31. He says, saying, go to the village over against you, in the which you enter again. You shall find a colt tied whereupon yet never a man sat. Loose him, bring him hither. And if any man ask you, why do you loose him? Thus shall you say unto him, because the Lord hath need of him. The Lord needed him, number one, because he was available. The Lord needed him because he was available. He was just tied to a post there, just standing, waiting for the Lord to use. Now, I've heard this said my whole Christian life, and it's true. God is more concerned about availability than he is about ability. If we are available to God, no matter what our abilities may be, great or small, then God can use us. But no matter what we can do and how great our abilities are, if we are not available, then God cannot use us. The Lord needed him because he was available. Now, let me ask you something, fellas. Have you ever tried to help your wife hang a picture in your house? Hang some kind of picture or painting there? If you do that, you probably need to have the lawyer on speed dial. I mean, because, you know, you want an inch higher and she wants an inch lower, and you want it to the left, she wants it to the right. But we've done that, and of course, I've got to hold the picture and she's got to stand back. Up. No, down. No, back up. Left. No, too much. Right. No, too much. Back. And then finally she says, that's it! And I realize I got a problem. Because the picture's up there. I've got a nail in my teeth, and I've been about to bite it in two, going left, right, up, and down. That's a different sermon. But the problem is the hammer's laying over on the table. Okay? And so I put my hand on the top. Okay, right there. That's where the nail's got to go. Put the picture down. And I can't reach it. Get the nail out. Okay, there it is. Wham, wham, wham. The whole time she said, don't get those shoe prints on my wall. You know, never mind. But anyway, and finally, I get it there. And I'll tell you, the shoe did not do near as good a job as the hammer would have done. But I couldn't reach the hammer. It was out of reach. It was unavailable. And there are many times I look at us and the work that God has used us to do, and I think, why in the world doesn't God use somebody else? Why in the world doesn't God pick up a tool that would be better equipped and better able and more meet for use? And I realize sometimes it's just because it's not available. And God will use that which is available to him. Young people, I want to encourage you to do something in your life. Make yourself available to God. Simply say, Lord, here am I, use me. Lord, I'll do whatever you want me to do. I'll follow you. I'll serve you in any way that you'd like. The Lord needed him because he was available. Have you ever heard of the 80-20 rule? For example, and I'm not going to do this tonight, but if we had everybody in here take out all of the cash in your pockets, we'd find 20% of the people had 80% of the cash. That's just how it works. You say, really? Really? It works that way. And that works in many different ways. One of the things you'll find in churches is that 20% of the people do 80% of the work. Now, is it because that 20% are just head and shoulders above everybody else and they're the only ones who can do it? And the answer to that is no. Most of the time, it's simply because the 20% are available. Back in the end of August, 1st of September, we had our annual Operation 3015 meeting there in our church. And obviously, I was not there. I was here, and we were trying to get everything together. And so time was of the essence, and so I contacted one of our ladies, and I said, we've got this many people coming in, and we got to feed this many people, but before they get there, all of the rooms that we have at the church building there, we've got to clean them up. We got to take the sheets off the beds. We got to pull the mattresses out in the sun. We got to air them out. We got to do all this kind of stuff and get it ready for them to come. And she said, Pastor, I'll do it. I said, I don't want you to do it by yourself. Get a few people together and do it. And she did. I mean, step by step, she sent me photos of, you know, all the mattresses being out in the sun and showed me that they were washing. She said, I washed these, and this lady washed these, and another lady took some home and washed them. We got everything all cleaned up. You say, why'd you call her? Because I knew that if I said, do this job, she'd get it done. Now, does she wash sheets better than any other woman in our church? Well, really, I don't know. Maybe, maybe not. But I know this. I gave her a job, and she said, I'll do it. And I didn't have to worry about it anymore. We have people like that in our church. We have people that are very talented, very gifted, but yet they have not made themselves available to the Lord. This donkey, if you would, was needed by the Lord, first of all, because he was available. Let me ask you tonight, are you available for God to use? Are you available for God to use? Or do you put certain stipulations on it? Well, I can be used. Well, let's see, Sunday I'm busy, and Monday I'm busy, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday for about 37 minutes. I've got a little time, and I can be used then, but Saturday I can't. Do you make it difficult for God to use you? God needs us just like he needed that donkey. He needs us to be available so that he can use us. Secondly, the Lord needed him because he was reliable. And you say, well, that's kind of similar. One's available. It is similar, but it's a little bit different. Donkeys throughout history have been used in various jobs that required or difficult jobs to do. For example, carrying supplies, pulling wagons, plowing. During World War II, there was a British stretcher bearer. He was actually from Australia, and he had, when he left his home, he knew he was going to be a stretcher bearer, so he got permission to take his very own personal donkey to war with him. And so normally, instead of grabbing those stretchers of wounded men and men carrying them, he was able to use his donkey to pull them, and he would take his donkey literally out onto the battlefield and pick them up and bring them back. It's very interesting. They tried horses for that, and the horses would all run away. You'd have a big explosion. You'd have a bomb go off, and, man, the horse would go. And if they had the person that had been injured on the stretcher, he would go, and it was an awful thing. But it said that this man, his name was John Kilpatrick, that he and his donkey rescued thousands of men. And if you go to Australia, to his hometown, as you enter into his hometown, there's a big statue of John there. But right beside him, there's his faithful, reliable donkey along with him. He was just reliable. You know, we make ourselves available. But when we do that, we have to be reliable. We have to be trustworthy that we will do the job that we've been assigned to. We'll do the job that God has given us. You know, it's interesting to me to see folks who are talented, who are gifted, and who make themselves available, but sometimes they don't complete the job. Sometimes they don't finish the work that God has for them. They're just not reliable. Let me ask you tonight. When God gives you a task, when God gives you a job, are you reliable? Are you dependable to complete the task at hand? Number three, the Lord needed him because he was humble and was willing to let people see Jesus. In verses 36 through 38, and as he went, the he there is not the donkey, it's Jesus. And as he went, they spread their clothes in the way, and when he was come nigh, even now at the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works that they had seen, saying, "Blessed be the King that cometh in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest." It's very interesting to me that the Lord said about this donkey, "The Lord hath need of him." And then he got on the donkey to write about it. But we don't hear in this story or in the narrative here, we don't hear anything about what else the donkey did. As a matter of fact, it's almost as if he became irrelevant. Now, the truth is, he wasn't. He was doing his job. But can you imagine? Jesus is on the back of the donkey, and the donkey's walking around and said, "Hey, y'all, look at me." You know, hey, look at me. Look, he's on my back. He's not riding the side. He's riding. Hey, look at me. Look at me. Hey, praise for me. Clap for me. He was willing to just say, "I'm going to do my job, and if nobody ever knows who I am, I'm okay with that. I just want people to see Jesus." I'm amazed at the number of people that have to have continual praise and adoration to serve the Lord. I mean, you got to keep saying, "Well, you know, that a boy, great job, good job, woohoo, man," you know. And if you don't do that, they won't continue. we need to be humble, and we need to really to go against our nature. It's not our nature, just to be honest with you, to be humble. It's not our nature is to seek attention. Our nature is to seek praise. Our nature is for people to see us. But this donkey went against his nature, and he did his job, and he let other people see Jesus. The Lord needed him because he was humble and because he was willing to let people see Jesus. I wonder, in my life and your life, are we humble and willing that people should see Christ? Or are we more concerned about getting the credit? Are we more concerned about everybody knowing, hey, I did that. I did that. I'm the one who accomplished that. Look at me. Woo woo. This donkey was humble and he was willing to let people see Jesus. I hope in our lives that it's not about praise to us, but it's about praise to him. Number four, the Lord needed him because he was willing to work. In verses 35 and verse 37, they put Jesus on him, and he was at the descent of the Mount of Olives. He's riding, he's going from Bethany to Jerusalem. And if you look at that, it wasn't just a short trip. It was quite a lengthy trip. It wasn't like, okay, I'll do this for a few minutes and then everything will be over. This continued on for quite some time. He was willing to work. I love the Word of God where it tells us that the people had a mind to work. I mean, that's a tremendous statement here. The Lord needed this donkey because he was willing to work. If you and I are going to serve the Lord, and I'm not talking about for salvation, we're working for salvation, but I'm saying if we're going to serve the Lord, we are going to have to put forth some effort and some work and some blood, sweat, and tears, if you would, to get the work of God accomplished. I'm amazed at how many believers quit when it gets just a little tough. I'm amazed at the number of missionaries that quit when things get a little tough. Over a number of years ago, it's over the last 10 years, we know 5 missionary families that have left the field because of pollution. You say, well, is pollution bad there? Yes. When our son Benjamin graduated from high school, he came back, he went to college, and he had an issue with his gallbladder. They did an x-ray, and the doctor looked at his lungs, and he said, son, how long have you smoked? He said, doc, I've never smoked. He said, you got smoker's lung. He said, well, I grew up in that city. And the doctor said, oh, that's why. That's why. It is a polluted place. I mean, the air's polluted, the water's polluted. Sometimes the food's polluted, depending on where you get it. But these people left. They weren't having any physical issues. They weren't having problems with their lungs. They weren't having problems with their bodies. They just decided, you know, this is not healthy for us. It's not healthy for our children, so we'll just go home. And they left the work because of pollution. In churches like this church, good churches, I see people all the time who have been faithful to do the work of God, faithful to be obedient and follow the Lord, and then all of a sudden they get weary in well-doing and they stop. The Lord had need of him because he was willing to work. And then finally, in verse number 30, the Lord needed him because he had no other master. The Lord needed him because he had no other master. The Bible says, saying, go ye into the village over against you, in which at your entering you shall find a colt tied. Notice this statement here, whereon yet never man sat. By the way, this is very unusual. It's very unnatural. If you've got a donkey or if you've got a horse or you've got any kind of animal that's a riding animal, you don't just get on and ride it. It takes some training. It takes a lot of work. But the Bible says that Jesus chose this animal because he had no other master. Nobody had ever ridden him before. And Jesus got on him, and he submitted himself to his master. You and I need to have one master, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. It can't be this world. It can't be the goals that we've set for ourselves, that I must accomplish these things. I must make Jesus Christ my Lord and master, and he's the one that I follow. I want to tell you something. God needs men and women who have no master but Christ. No master but Christ. Let me ask you something tonight. Who's your master? Now, many times we say, well, Jesus is my Lord and master. But if we really examined your life, or if you really examined your life, would you come to the conclusion that Christ is your master? I hope you would. We've seen that the Lord said about this donkey, the Lord hath need of him. He needed him because he was available. Are you available to Christ tonight? He needed him because he was reliable. Are you dependable? Whenever God gives you a task, whenever God gives you a job to do, are you reliable and dependable, and you'll get that accomplished? The Lord needed him because he was willing to be humble and let others see Christ. Are you willing to serve Christ and let him get all the praise and the honor and the glory, and nobody even know that you've done the task? God needed him because he was willing to work. We need to be willing to work for the Lord. And God needed him because he only had one master. No man can serve two masters. Well, either love the one and hate the other, or else you'll hate the one and love the other. That is a fact of life. The Bible said about a donkey, the Lord hath need of him. God in heaven looks down upon you tonight, and he says about you, I need you. The God who created heaven and earth, the God who spoke it all into existence, the God who has all powerful says, I need you. That's exciting, and it's humbling to think that God needs me. Do you realize this? God needs you so that people in Jackson, Tennessee can hear the gospel. And if they don't hear from you, for the most part, they're not going to hear. God needs you to give and to pray so that missionaries can go around the world to countries all around the world and give the gospel. And if you don't do that, the need is not going to be met, and they're not going to hear. The Lord hath need of him. And I think I can say this based on the authority of the Word of God. The Lord hath need of you tonight. Are you willing? Let's bow for prayer. Heavenly Father, I pray that you'd bless these simple thoughts, these simple ideas, as we think about you needing a donkey to use. But Father, I know that you need us and you want to use us if we just be willing to meet the same criteria as this donkey in the Gospel of Luke that we just looked at. Father, help us to examine our hearts, help us to examine our lives and see if these characteristics are there. If they're not, help us to confess, help us to repent, help us to forsake, and help us to be usable. You have need of us. Help us to do our part that you'd have us to do. Now, with our heads bowed and eyes closed, I'd like for us to stand together. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. We have a simple invitation tonight. The Bible says the Lord hath need of him. I'm telling you tonight, the Lord has need of you. Are you in a position so that he can use you just like he used that donkey? As she begins to play right now, God has spoken to your heart. I invite you to come.